Radio with your host, Irene Cook, the radio show that helps you lead a healthy lifestyle. Well, the question is, can you enjoy restaurant cuisine and not wreck your diet? Girls' night, guys' night, date night, every night seems to present its own roster of reasons to eat out. But by the end of it, you realize it is a surefire way to derail your diet. According to the data from the USDA, eating outside the home just a few times a week can lead to weight gain and obesity. A study from 2010 from the Department of USDA found that each and any way that you eat away from home is going to add 150 calories on average to that person's meal. Potentially, of course, and hundreds of more if that away from home meal is coming from a fast food restaurant. Eating out was always associated with nearly a quarter of fewer servings of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and leafy greens, and dark orange vegetables for the average adult. And for those of you who are overweight, certainly those of you that have issues with your weight or are obese, the excess calorie burden throughout the day is even higher for those than the normal weight individuals on days when the meal was eaten away from home. So I'm not trying to discourage you, and I'm not just picking on fast food, because eating at a nicer restaurant is no different. These numbers are not encouraging if you are on a diet, and definitely if you are somebody that enjoys keeping your social calendar booked. If you are somebody that has lots of business lunches and dinners and you're finding yourself relying on the convenience of grabbing a bite, you haven't prepared yourself. So we default to that order out button. Well, the good news is that there are a lot of options for you so that these numbers don't have to apply when you are dining out. Now, there's lots of perspectives that I take. And certainly you have probably heard me say this once before. There are many reasons to dine out. Certainly, if it is on your social calendar, you have a reason to dine out. It is a special day, a celebration, Valentine's Day, anniversary, birthday, you're meeting a friend. Of course, you're going to meet at a restaurant. Then there's other times where we choose to dine out because we are just not wanting to spend time in the kitchen. Now, of course, I would tell you to pick and choose. Certainly, the more we dine out, the more we rely on it, the less and less we prepare to cook at home. And like anybody that knows me, anybody that has been part of my program or has listened to any of my shows knows that the habit track that we find ourselves in is one that we develop. And the more you eat out, the easier it is to want to eat out. And not only do you rely on it, but then your family relies on it. So before I go on during the show and I give you the tips of eating out or not, I want to preface by saying limit the amount of times that you eat out. Truthfully, eating out should be something that you do for social reasons. It should be something that you do when you are meeting a friend, when you are participating in a celebration. It is far too many times on the calendar, and I have clients all the time that are reaching out to me saying that they are trapped. They feel trapped because of all of these events. These are things you can't change. And I certainly wouldn't ask anybody to make cancellations or alterations in their schedule just to avoid going to a restaurant. With that being said, on other occasions in which you are in control, you are in control of the day-to-day. You are in control of the morning that you decide to stop off and get that coffee and muffin where you could have just had something at home. You are in control of the days that you don't make a lunch or maybe did have time to make a lunch but decide not to make a lunch so that you can eat out instead. And this goes on. I had a conversation with someone the other day who typically stops on the way home multiple times a week, and stops and gets carry out, whether it's Chipotle, Chinese, the list of go-to places exists. And I brought it to her attention that this has become a habit, stopping and going into Chipotle, waiting in line, placing the order for her and her husband and three kids. That is no joke. I've done it, and that could be a 45-minute process. And the same thing goes really at any restaurant, especially at dinner time. So my suggestion to her was to limit, of course, the amount of times, the frequency that you do that. My habit is to stop off and run into Aldi. I've developed this new habit on days that maybe I don't know what I'm making for dinner, even though I might have things at home. Right then at that moment, I might not know what's at home. I might not have a taste for what's at home. It is faster for you to run into Aldi, run into Jewel, run into a quick supermarket and grab 4 or 5 items in and out. It is cheaper, it is healthier, and it is a better habit for you to get into than dialing and ordering out. I assure you of that. So without further ado, before I ramble off my suggestions, the best food that you can have is the food that you make at home. So moving on, if you do have to dine out, it is very difficult because we don't know exactly what you're getting. Not only do we don't know what we're getting, even if we are looking at the nutritional value written right on the menu, right on the website, there is no guarantee that the entrees are being made with such precision. You have a boatload of restaurants out there. You have your fast food chains, and these meals are getting thrown together in seconds. Of course, they have a certain protocol that they have to follow. They have a recipe that they have to follow. And yes, they're going to fall in the spectrum of those calories. But are they going to be that precise? Most likely not. Then you have your next level up from fast food, your dine-in fast food, your Chipotles, your Paneras. And again, I'm not picking on these restaurants, but I'm telling you that what you see on the nutritional information is not what you get. There have been studies done. There have been research studies done where food lab researchers have gone in and taken these meals from these restaurants, and I'm not naming specific names, but just vaguely taking entrees and brought them to a food lab to have the calories checked. And not only are the portions off, but the calories are off. So on any given meal, the calories were off on an average of 18%. So if you are dining out and you order the meal that is supposedly 700 calories, it could be 800 calories. You don't know. And furthermore, you don't know the exact measurements of the oils that are being used. You have no idea how much salt is in the menu. And anytime you eat out, of course, the sodium levels are going to be astronomical. I'm somebody that, of course, has celiac, and I talk about this all the time. So I have to be very careful about my consumption to make sure that I don't have any kind of wheat cross-contamination. I'm here to tell you that I have gone to restaurants many times and I have ordered something that's gluten-free only to later find out that I have been exposed to gluten, even though the entree is gluten-free. What goes on in the kitchen goes on in the kitchen, and it is, I'm sure, very chaotic. Even though you're looking at the menus, and I encourage you to always look at the menus online before you go out to find out what's available. Think about what you're going to order. That's my number one thing that I tell people to do. Have it made custom to fit your diet. I do it all the time. Wait staff are used to this with all of the allergies that are out now. People are used to ordering things on the side. I had a client last week ask me what she should do about her Cobb salad because she had no idea how to measure the cheese and the dressing and the chicken. And I told her, order everything on the side. Because when everything comes on the side, you're able to see exactly how much cheese you're getting. You're able to see exactly how much chicken you're getting. You're able to distribute the little bacon bits on there. Otherwise, it's very ambiguous and you truthfully don't know. Furthermore, don't fool yourself. I chuckle all the time when I go out to eat and I look at the light menu. When we go out to eat, and next time you go out to eat, look at the light menu and take a glance at the calories on the light menu. If you notice that some of the salads on the light menu might be 650 calories, 700 calories, some of the entrees on the light menu might be 600 to 700 calories, which is a hearty meal. An at-home entree would never be that high. And this is the light menu. So imagine what the regular menu must look like. So you have to be aware of that. From a sodium perspective, it's always going to be much, much higher as well. The preservatives, the additives, and unless you're going to a farm-to-table restaurant, even some of the higher end restaurants have the foods come to them semi pre-made, and the meats are already prepared in the sauces. And so again, the preservatives are already there and you can't get around that. So biggest tip right there. My next tip, not only should you look up what you're going to eat before, but definitely look up the nutrition. And if there's any way at all that you can eliminate some of the higher caloric items on your entree, you can save yourself a lot of calories. For example, if you go out for Mexican food and you order the enchilada entree, by holding the cheese or putting the cheese on the side, you're saving yourself hundreds of calories. Now, I'm not implying to not put any cheese on. I'm just simply saying to put the cheese on the side because then you have control of how much cheese you're putting on your entree. Another big piece of information is split your plate. And I'm not saying split it with a friend. Of course, that's never a bad idea. But look at your entree when it comes. Compare it to an entree at home. Certainly if you're watching your weight, Certainly, if you are on a diet or you have been participating in a weight loss program, you're going to look at this plate when you're at a restaurant and you are going to think, in a million years, in a gajillion years, you would never make a plate this large at home. Point blank, the average plate size in the 1960s was a 9-inch plate. The average plate size today is a 15-inch plate. It is unfathomable how much larger our portion sizes have gotten. There is absolutely no reason to eat your entire entree. And so if you are at a restaurant and you aren't finding something necessarily that is light, and I always discourage people from ordering a salad every single time they go out because we both know that salads aren't always the best choice. Order an entree and commit yourself to eating half of that. Take the other half home, split it with your friend, and this way you know that you have eaten a normal size meal. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, and I am talking about restaurant eating do's and don'ts. So as far as another big do, and I've talked about this many, many times on my show, I think I need to do a show just on this. What should you do before you go out to eat? Now, if you were to ask me this question years ago, my answer would have been, I would have gotten up, I would have worked out twice as hard that day to burn extra calories. I would have had a lighter breakfast. I would have probably skipped lunch, maybe had some, you know, carrot sticks and cucumbers for a snack to try to keep my calories as low as possible, so that I could save all of my calories for my dinner entree. Now, that makes perfect sense. If you're somebody that has a caloric range of 1,500 calories in a day, if you burn all these calories and you show up at the restaurant and you have all these calories to spend, what could be better? Well, you just created an even bigger problem because now you have burnt all these calories. You are in this huge deficit. You're probably dehydrated. You're definitely starving. And now you're going to show up at a restaurant famished. And the second that food shows up, it's over. And if you haven't listened to my show on Trustology, where I talk about how the digestive system works when you're hungry, you cannot control it. You get to the restaurant, you smell that food, your digestive enzymes start secreting, and you are screwed. So you can't go there. So my biggest piece of advice is binge block. And if you don't know what a binge block is, I'm going to share it with you. Not to be confused with a snack. A snack is baby carrots, celery sticks, and cucumbers. That is not what I want you to eat. That's just pacifying you. That would be like giving a pacifier to a screaming baby when they're starving. It's not what we want to do here. We want to take the edge off. We want to soften the blow of your taste buds and your digestive enzymes. So my advice is right before you go out to eat, let's say an hour before you leave, you want to have a hearty snack. And the recipe for a binge blocker is simple. It's small. It should fit in a cup. It should be 25 grams of protein and 15 to 20 grams of healthy fat. Now, if you're listening going, how and what? And huh? It's simple. I'm going to give you some of my favorites. A can of tuna fish and a half of an avocado. There's a binge block. Another one would be a cup of cottage cheese and 15 almonds. a cup of Greek yogurt, and a tablespoon of peanut butter. So you can see here, small, compact, but fierce and loaded with protein and healthy fat. Now, what is the point here? You're going out to eat. Why would you eat something before you go out to eat? I'm here to tell you that this binge blocker that tops would be maybe 300 calories will save you thousands. And if you think I'm exaggerating by saying thousands, I am not exaggerating by saying thousands. So you eat this can of tuna fish and a half of an avocado, which by the way is going to be about 250 calories. You're leaving the house at 5 o'clock to go to dinner. You get to the restaurant. By the time they serve you dinner, it's seven. Now you're a little hungry because let's face it, what you just ate is not that big. Food comes, bread comes. You're not ready to push the waiter out of the way and knock everybody silly to grab the butter, slather it out with the bread, and ram it down your throat. You are feeling pretty satisfied, and you can wait until your dinner comes. That's the beauty of this. You don't want to waste your calories or your appetite eating bread and butter. You don't want to waste your appetite eating meaningless appetizers. You want to wait until your dinner comes. And we both know going out to dinner sometimes, it could be an hour from getting seated till your dinner comes. By now, you are ready to eat and your entree comes and you are at that point of hunger where it is satisfying. You're not at the point of hunger where it is ridiculous. And the difference between satisfied hunger is you pick up your fork, you enjoy what you're eating, you're mindful of your portions, you eat nice and slow, and you realize that you are able to have a successful meal out. The alternative, the ridiculous hunger, is where your plate comes and you don't even remember eating it, because the process of shoveling it into your mouth and eating it is so fast that you don't taste it. You have not fulfilled yourself as far as the pleasure goes in what you're enjoying. You are just eating. And there's a big difference there between the two things. And there's been a lot of research done, and I've done studies on myself where I am allowing myself one slice of deep dish pizza after I've binge blocked. And I can tell you, I've enjoyed the one slice of deep dish pizza so much more than the alternative where I haven't binge blocked and the pizza comes and I eat three slices of pizza. I don't remember the first slice. The second slice is me talking myself out of it. And the third slice is the pity party slice. And if you think that's crazy, then I'm sure you either have not done it or you've done it with a different food than pizza, because our brains short circuit. So do yourself a favor, educate yourself before you go. Read up on where you're going. Binge block before you go. Do not show up starving. Don't plan on eating the whole entree. And certainly don't use dining out as a reward. There are plenty of things to reward yourself with besides food. You can reward yourself with a plethora of other things. If we get into the habit and the mindset of thinking that we should reward ourselves with food every time we lose weight, then you're never going to meet your goals. And most importantly, eating out should be done for the right reasons. If you are finding yourself eating out because you don't feel like cooking, because you think you don't have time to cook, because you don't have the groceries, because you're tired, because you just don't feel like it, then you need to reevaluate why you're going out to eat. Because the number of times, the frequency that you go out to eat really does depend on your success rate. And if you're somebody that has lost weight and you're trying to incorporate going back out to eat, do it slowly and always have in the back of your mind the reasons that you're going out to eat. You're not doing it as a reward. You're doing it as a social event. You're doing it to enjoy. You're doing it to explore new foods. And also, and finally, and this is my favorite, always stop and think, how could you have made this meal at home? And that's something that my husband and I do all the time. Every time we say, let's go out to eat, we stop and think, we could make this at home with a lot less sodium, with a lot less fat, and certainly with a lot less cost. So I hope this helped. I hope this helps you change the way you have an outlook for restaurant eating. And I certainly hope it helps your habit track. So next time you go out to eat, cheers to you, cheers to me, and cheers to the rest of your day. Let's go. Make no excuses now. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. Let's go. Your time is running out. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. It's not about what you've done. It's about